I just can't wait to like see what like the hospitality sort of and restaurant industry does in, you know, especially in Melbourne, like next year. Because you can see what people are doing now. It's just when we open up and there's full teams back in restaurants, it's the food's just going to be next level, you know.
One of the most noticeable features of the pandemic has been the difference between the city and the suburbs, the way that communities have responded to their restaurants and looked after them when they live close to them. We've certainly seen this phenomenon in Melbourne. Today, we're chatting to Matt Woodhouse, who is from Comma Food & Wine and the Tuck Shop by Comma in Moorabbin, a little bit out of Melbourne Centre. Welcome to Daddy Linen, Matt.
Thanks, Danny. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to have you. I have watched your restaurant closely, not actually close enough to get through the doors, but that's going to happen before too long. But
hopefully soon, eh?
Yeah, that's it.
We're just waiting for that announcement.
We are. But give us a little bit of a rundown on Comma, the neighbourhood, and how you guys have come to be there doing what you're doing.
Yeah, great. So like Adam, I kind of met Adam and Megan sort of late last year because their original cafe, Crooked Letters, is on my road in Paran. So they were sort of in the final stages of getting Comma sort of open. And yeah, we sort of met up and I was going to just consult and do the menu for them. And then we sort of, you know, we sort of clicked really well and they were telling me about what they wanted to do with Tuck Shop. And that was kind of what I was doing anyway, was that sort of takeaway sandwich thing with New Order in Paran. So yeah, it was sort of clicked and we were just came into a full-time role really. Yeah.
Tell us about where Comma's situated. What's the neighbourhood like?
Yeah, so it's in Moorabbin, just opposite the station. So, I mean, I suppose it's, you know, gentrified is the word really. It's there's a lot of businesses coming in there, a lot of young families, really good community. You know, everyone sort of gets on. Adam and Megan have actually sort of lived there around that area for a good few years now. So they know the community well already.
And I know from chatting to Megan, you know, around the time of the restaurant's opening, she felt that there'd been a bit of a, I guess, a mood shift in the way people felt about where they lived and where they wanted to eat in relation to it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, with, you know, with no one can go into the sort of CBD necessarily or travel far. So, you know, I certainly found people are staying in, you know, in the suburb and really wanting to eat at their local places, you know, with their community as well. So we've really found that people have sort of rallied around and supported us. You know, we've got some really good regulars already. We've only been sort of open sort of 9 months, 10 months now. So,
and so when you opened, it was like we've been in and out of lockdown so much, but when you opened, people were able to dine in, weren't they?
Yeah. So we opened literally a week before Christmas, I think, or 2 weeks before Christmas. It was quite, quite early on. And we did a sort of soft opening because we thought that area would be quite quiet over sort of, you know, Christmas, New Year anyway. So we did a few weeks and then we closed for the Christmas period. And then January was, you know, sort of opened up again. And yeah, it was good. And, you know, we had a bit of press and that sort of got us going. And then we got into lockdown, which was a bit of a pain. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's all about just staying relevant and, you know, keeping active on, you know, social medias and things. And keeping people aware that we're still there and we're coming back and that sort of thing. But we've done, you know, we're happy for where we are and what we've done so far in this short period. And we just, yeah, can't wait to reopen really.
Well, tell us about some of the things that you have done. What have you done to look after your community, both when people can dine in and during lockdown?
So we did the pop-ups with Tuck Shop. So Tuck Shop's just around the corner from Comma. And it was always on the cards. We always wanted to open it regardless of lockdowns or anything like that. But it was, we were kind of lucky with timings that, you know, we could do these pop-ups and get people interested in Tuck Shop. And, you know, this is what's going to come to the area. And people loved it, you know, and it was, you know, it was a big boost for us and our staff, you know, really, really promising and, you know, uplifting, really. So that's our main thing through the lockdowns this year. And then sort of with Comma, we did a Father's Day dine at home pack. That was our first thing we've really done with Comma at home. And we had a really good response from that. It was, you know, we did a lot of our classic dishes on our menu, which people know. And yeah, it was good. And we're doing one this weekend as well, coming up, just a bit of a cheaper option. It's two-course for $100. Sorry, four-course for $100 for two people. And yeah, I think we'll sort of look at doing that again. Maybe not every week, but maybe every other week, and bring some sort of new dishes that we want to bring onto the menu coming into the spring, summer season when we can reopen.
So give us a sense of the different offerings at the two places. What sort of food is there at Comma, and how do you go take us through your thought process of sort of giving us something that's still part of the brand, but is a different offering as you do at Tuck Shop?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tuck Shop's a very small space. So we always knew that what we wanted to do is prep from Comma. So the menu had to have crossover ingredients. So we've, like, I suppose Comma's menu is like European sort of style based. I'm from the UK, so that's what I sort of trained in. But, you know, so it's got traditional European flavours, but, you know, with a modern twist, I suppose. Small menu, just a couple of sort of proteins for mains, smaller plates, snacks, that sort of thing. We change it regularly. But our main focus really is on, we try and keep local. You know, we use sort of Cape Grim Hanger Steak is our sort of, we do a really good steak night in Comma, which has become pretty famous. And that's gone over to our Hanger Steak bagel. So that's our sort of main one. We also use Aura King salmon. So we use that in the restaurant, and then we make our own sort of cured salmon with pastrami spices. And that goes on a bagel too. So we're really thinking about how we can grow our business and make it profitable in a way where we're crossing over ingredients and crossing over staff. Because, you know, that's a big, big issue in hospitality at the moment, is one, finding people, and two, you know, making a business profitable, really.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I suppose that so many businesses at the moment have thought about different income streams and how they can leverage off the original brand that they've created to keep business flowing through, you know, no matter what the circumstances. What's actually the reason for doing it in a different site? Like, could you not just run Tuck Shop out of Comma?
Well, we, I suppose you could, but it's different branding, I suppose. You know, it's got, Comma's got a, you know, really sort of nice warm sort of feel to it when you go in there, you know, the sort of dim lights, that sort of thing, velvet bench seating. And Tuck Shop's quite bright, quite fun, I suppose. And we've got a really good relationship with our landlord who from Comma, and he offered the space for us. He said, I've got this hole in the wall. I've got a lot of offices coming into the area. They want a sandwich, takeaway salad joint, you know, what can you do? So we put an idea to him, and we've worked out a really good deal with him and to, you know, service those workers when they come back.
Mm. Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, to me, it also feels like this is, you know, if you're there for the community, you've got to be there for the community no matter where they are in their day or their week. So you're sort of doing that Monday to Friday, lunchtime, quick service thing. And it should feel different to, okay, you know, we've got a babysitter, or we're going to haul the kids and we're going to bring the dog and sit outside or whatever it is. And it's that really different feel. So yeah, that actually really makes a lot of sense to me that you would want them to be, I guess, differentiated, but also connected.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we sort of, with Comma, we did start opening for lunches and things. And I suppose we don't want that. We do want to look at doing that out in the summer, especially because we have got that out the front. We've got a bit of a beer garden area, which the council have been very, really good to us in letting us have, you know, seating out there all last summer. And they've continued to let us do that as well. So I think that'll be big for us next year, coming into the spring, summer now. People want to be outside, you know, enjoy the sun. And we can offer, you know, lunch in Comma and Tuck Shop as well. So, and then they can bring their, you know, they can always bring their bagel round from round the corner, sit in the beer garden, have a beer. So that's the kind of the idea we want to go for.
That's really nice. And I mean, how do you think things are going to pan out? Do you have to offer something at Comma that is going to stop someone wanting to jump on the train and go into the city, or hop in the car and go across to Brighton? You know, do you feel like you need to keep amping it up, or is there something just about being in the neighbourhood that keeps people anchored to you?
I mean, I suppose me and Adam are both quite competitive people, so we always want to make something better. You know, we're never happy with what we've got, sort of thing. So we're always thinking about, oh, what can we do next? You know, so and it's good for the team as well. I've got a really good chef in there, Luke, who Luke Driscoll. He kind of runs the kitchen in Comma, while I sort of overlook the menus and the other businesses. And he's really good at sort of throwing out ideas and like taking control of certain projects and things that we give him. So yeah, together we all make a really good team in regards to like thinking of new ideas and dishes and things like that. So I suppose with the menu direction with Comma, yeah, we just want to refine what we do and, you know, make it delicious and approachable as well, I suppose, Danny. We don't want to be, you know, a lot of places in the city, you know, that very fancy, you know, and obviously delicious. Whereas we want to appeal to people more suburban, I suppose, and don't want to scare people away. We want people to come back sort of, you know, every week, really.
So what's a Comma dish that you just love, or even a Comma dish that you think it's good now, but there's something else I want to do to it?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at kind of what our steak offering, like, because people love the steak, so like, so our hanger steak's been really good. We're going to look at like how we're going to, what steak we use, whether or not we bring another steak in. I suppose the first dish I developed was the octopus, and that's just a standout. So we sous vide our octopus, Fremantle octopus, and then we grill it on the char grill with some really delicious eggplant puree and capers and tomatoes and olives, and everyone just loves that. So yeah, it's just working out ways in which you can plate things and, you know, what ingredients are in season, and really focus on the veg, the garnishes, I suppose. But we do our proteins really well, and yeah, I suppose working out what garnishes can, you know, lift the dish is the way we're going to look at it.
And what about drinks? Like, what do you think people are looking in those neighbourhood restaurants in terms of the drinks offering these days?
We're really big on cocktails, actually. Yeah, so especially on the weekend, people love cocktails. Adam's got some really good sort of signature ones on the menu. We use Stomping Ground. They've just opened up around the corner as well in Moravian. So we use them, and Moondog Lagers and stuff like that. So we've got a good range, good wines, approachable wines. You know, good price points as well. So
I have to agree with you that I'm much more ordering cocktails at restaurants than I ever have before. And part of me thinks it's because I just want to celebrate every time I get to go to a restaurant, where it's just like every meal has to be an occasion now. And it doesn't mean that I want to spend hundreds of dollars. It doesn't mean that I want to, you know, necessarily want to be there for 3 or 4 hours, but it does mean I want to at least, I don't know, have something a little bit fancy to start the meal off with.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, and it's so nice having been able to go out, isn't it? And, you know, in the last 2 years have just been crazy, and you just got to celebrate where you can, really. But
yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, tell us a bit more about yourself. Like, you are from England. What were you already a chef when you were back in the UK, and what brought you to Australia?
Yeah, so I grew up in Wales, actually, so I'm half English, half Welsh, but yeah, I sort of worked in kitchens from when I was 15, you know, jobs here and there, and actually studied sound engineering at uni, and was working through restaurants, you know, throughout that time. Did a few years as a restaurant manager as well, and then, yeah, so I've done a bit of it all, really. And then I came to Australia probably 9 years ago. Went to did a year in Sydney. That was pretty cool. Worked in Bondi. Obviously, everyone goes to Bondi. But, yeah, it was really good. Got in with a good crew there, the Corner House. And I did a pop-up in the Opera House, actually. We did a six-month stint there. So that was pretty cool. And then, yeah. So, and then I moved to New Zealand, where I met my wife. I was there for 2 years in Auckland. Worked in a few wine bars. And I wanted a bit of a bit more of a work-life balance. So I actually went into sort of cafes and catering for a good few years. So I've been in Melbourne now for 5 years.
I mean, tell me about that cafe lifestyle, you know, because a lot of people, I mean, it's daytime, so it does seem like there's going to be a bit more work-life balance, but it's pretty punishing, isn't it? Or it can be at least.
Oh, it's very hard work. Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, I kind of like didn't really want to go into it in Auckland, but I kind of, you know, had to. And but when I moved to Melbourne, I was actually really excited because, you know, following a lot of the bigger players like Top Paddock and all those sort of guys, you know, I was looking at the food over in New Zealand and going, oh my God, yeah, this could actually be really good for my career. And, you know, I've worked with some really good people, some really good teams, but it's tough. Yeah. But so I was, I suppose, before I met Adam and Megan, I just started my own sort of private chef business, Black Slate Kitchen. And that was literally just before COVID. So the plan was to like have a bit more of a mix up between doing, you know, private dinners and working in the cafes and stuff like that. So, I'll look at doing that again, you know, into next year as well. It's quite flexible where I am at the moment with these guys. So, I can still work there and then do the odd private dinner. And I'm also working with Truffle Melbourne. So Nigel Wood, he owns Truffle Paddock. We've just come into possession of a food truck. So we're just looking at what we can do next year with that in regards to truffle dinners.
Wow, that would be interesting. Like that you'd be pulling up somewhere and catering a sit-down dinner, or that you'd just be doing like truffle burger type things?
Well, a bit of both, really, yeah. So, I mean, we're kind of looking at farmers markets, that sort of thing, where you can, you know, pull up as a food truck and do exactly that. But then Nigel in the past has done a lot of these truffle dinners. You know, he's done sort of Guy Grossi and Jesse Gurner, I think, are the main guys he works with. We can essentially have a, you know, food truck where we can prep from and sort of serve from, take equipment down with us to vineyards and things like that, and, you know, do up to sort of 200 people.
Wow. I mean, that sounds exciting on a number of levels, not least that you're talking about events for 200 people. That sounds fun. I would love to just be milling around with a whole bunch of people. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then also with, back to sort of Comma and Tuck Shop, we've actually speaking with Marabin Bowls Club at the moment, who they've got a really good kitchen in there, and they've sort of asked us to cater for functions which they can't really do the food catering for. So we're looking at every option we can possibly do to expand, really. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really exciting. I mean, a lot of people are finding this period understandably very, very challenging and a total grind, but you sound really upbeat and optimistic, and, you know, there's an idea around every corner. Like what's with that?
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been a bloody tough 18 months. And for me personally, this lockdown's been the hardest, I must say. But you just got to keep positive. You have to. You know, we've got a really good team behind us. We've got four venues and everyone's been there for quite a while, you know. So we just look after each other, I suppose. You have to. Yeah. So, but it's all about being positive, I think. You know, if you get into a rut of sort of, you know, that negativity, then it's just going to really be quite detrimental to your business, I suppose. So, yeah, we're just positive as we can be and thinking of the end goal, which hopefully is, you know, towards the end of November, we'll be out of it. But we'll see. Yeah,
we will see. I mean, when you say this lockdown's been hard or the hardest one, I think a lot of people feel the same. Why do you think this one's been so hard?
personally for me, like, I mean, my family's all in the UK, so I haven't seen them for 2.5 years. I've got a 7-month baby, Walter, so he's sort of keeping me and my wife entertained all the time. She's doing a great job. But yeah, it's people just want to go out, see their friends. I mean, it's a long time, you know, see the family. But it will come. It will come.
Yeah, I think it will. And it's almost, yeah, it does seem a long time. I'm really sorry that it's been that long since you've seen your family, and it seems like that's going to be the last thing to come back. So, yeah, you definitely get sick of the old FaceTime, hey?
Yeah, you do a little bit, but yeah. No, it's all good. We keep in touch regularly, you know. That's all you can do, right? But yeah.
Yeah. And so when you say, you know, you think the end of November, is that, what are you basing that on? Is that just like what you've sort of put, yeah, is that a hunch or what have you done?
It's a hunch, mate. It's an optimistic hunch. Yeah. I suppose, you know, if that's a 70% double vax, you know, we can, maybe they'll let us open outdoor areas again like they did last summer. You know, limited capacity, that sort of thing. But you never know.
Yeah. And with the vaccination, like, are you hoping for like a mandate from the government in terms of allowing, in terms of staff and customers? Like, are you, what are you sort of thinking, or how do you think that's going to play out, and how would you like it to play out?
I think it's such a decisive topic, you know. I was just reading an article then actually about, you know, these vaccine passports and stuff. I think it's such a hard thing for the government to put on venues. They've got enough going on, and they have to sort of police people who are vaccinated or not vaccinated coming into their venues. I know it's really important, but it's going to be challenging, I think.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the short answer. It is going to be challenging no matter what it is. I suppose, you know, the lower the vaccination rates, the more the compliance is going to have to be part of it. That's sort of what I think. It's like, if you know you've got really, really high community vaccination, then you can be, there can be more leeway with the regulation of who's vaccinated and who's not and where they are. But I guess from a business, well, and, you know, from all kinds of, from events, from schools, all, you know, all kinds of aspects, I feel like the more that people are vaccinated, the less there's going to have to be rules around it. I know the compliance burden on hospitality is enormous already, but I feel like if people want to get open sooner, then I don't really see a way around, just keeping a check on who's vaccinated and who's not.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's seems to be the way it's going to have to be. But, you know, most people we speak to are doing the right thing, you know. Everyone's getting vaccinated, which is great. So, I mean, hopefully it'll be fine. I think the more people who do get vaccinated, I think others are just encouraged, right? So.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, well, I've got your I often see the tuck shop and the comma pics flash by on Instagram, and I have to say that it's all looks, I don't know, it all looks super edible and just like you want to get it in your face. What do you think it is? Like, let's talk about bagels perhaps, which I know is a bit of a specialty of yours. What do you think makes a really great bagel?
Well, our bagel, we use Sauvignon bagels, and they're really soft. They're based on Balaclava, Elsenwick area, sort of. Really soft bagels for us is what we like. And delicious fillings, you know. It's with Crooked Letters, which is the original sites, they're called kind of the classics. You know, you got your sort of smoked salmon, cream cheese, and your pastrami beef. Whereas the tuck shop ones, we want them to be fancy. We want them to be fun. So, you know, you got those sort of more premium ingredients. And we do specials every weekend with them just to keep people interested. So we did a lobster bisque special. We've done a roast chicken gravy with crispy skin, that sort of stuff. And we're doing this weekend, we're doing a brisket, smoked brisket.
Ooh, what else goes in that?
We'll do a really nice slaw with a horseradish mayo, like a remoulade sort of thing. Maybe a hot mustard or something as well. Haven't fully decided on it yet, but we're so Luke, who I was mentioning earlier, our head chef, he used to be the head chef of Big Pig. And we're doing a bit of a collab with them. So they're going to smoke the briskets for us. We'll pick them up on the morning and then we'll have hot brisket bagels.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. So
That sounds so delicious. I think all the collaborations at the moment are really warming my heart. You know, it's often a pretty competitive world, but I think more and more you just see, it's like people are just looking for ways to connect, you know. It's really, really heartening. I'm writing about it at the moment. You know, there's so many cool things coming up. Like there's Yum Sing House is collaborating with Scoopy Milk Bar. So Yum Sing's doing like Cantonese beef and Scoopy is doing bingsu, so shaved ice, elaborate, amazing shaved ice desserts. Hayley Rachura from Enterfire Laundry is collaborating with Avani Winery. She was going to be in residence there, but instead they're delivering dinner boxes with pre-release wine. One of the funnest ones that I'll preview now is Cook's Food, which does amazing dinner boxes, is collaborating with the band Client Liaison. So this like 80s influenced band that you get some 80s food or inspired food delivered with the EP from the band. You know, people are just really going to town with finding different ways to connect around great food and drink experiences and music now too. I just love it.
Well, we did we were quite inspired actually by Hamish and Ben's 80s cook-along. Did you see that, Ben Shrewy? That was awesome. So we thought for our Father's Day, let's do a video. So we did a video, it was a 20-minute long thing. And when we did information sheet with the Dine at Home pack, we had a QR code linked to the video. You know, we had a QR code linked to one of our Spotify playlists from Comma, you know, and it's doing those little extra things, keeping people engaged and like, you know, when you can't go out and have fun, you may as well have fun at home, right?
Yeah. It never ceases to amaze me just the creativity, just, you know, that keeps being new ways to connect. I just think it's really impressive and it's really heartwarming. And it also gives me a lot of faith in the future that's out before us. You know, we're just, we love connecting with one another around food and drinks, and yeah, we're just going to keep doing it.
I just can't wait to like see what like the hospitality sort of and restaurant industry does in, you know, especially in Melbourne, like next year. Because you can see what people are doing now. It's just when we open up and there's full teams back in restaurants, it's the food's just going to be next level, you know. So
you reckon?
Yeah, I can't wait. Just looking at some chefs and things like that, what they're doing, and it's cool. It's cool. I mean, the other thing as well, what I found really great is, you know, chefs doing their retail ranges. You know, the Tom's hummus and that cheese from, is it Cole? Yeah, I got that the other weekend. It's so good.
So you did well to get in because I think it sold out in 5 seconds flat.
Yeah, well, I was at Make a Manga the day before and they said, you can go online 3 o'clock and order. And I was like, okay, sweet. So I was in there on the dot. So
love it. It's like today's concert tickets. It's like Collins cheese. It's just brilliant. I love it. So Matt, yeah, it looks like a few more tricky weeks to get through, but so much to look forward to. It's been really brilliant to hear the energy and optimism with which you're dealing with the present, but also looking forward to a bright future. Thank you so much for having a chat to me today. It's really fantastic to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. And also thank you for, being such a beacon of light for the hospitality industry. You're always doing something and, you know, being positive yourself and, being able to tell people stories is such a good way to support us. So thanks.
No worries. Well, thanks for saying that. And yeah, it's a pleasure to be in touch. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @Dirty Linen Podcast. We can't wait to hear from you.
This